chosen today's topic is the Sedra, Rav Shabbos, Parshat Lech Lecha, Parshat Brit Bin Abasarim. The highly topical issue that we hear about the promise of the land of Eretz Yisrael, he has the right to Eretz Yisrael, and it's well kedai that we investigate a little bit of the Havtocha, the promise of Shvokha, promise of Rav Avinu, Brit Bin Abasarim, that we have the right to Chus to Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk states, "Vayomahu Kas Hashem et Avram Brit Shleimoy." The Zarach on the Eretz Aziz in Har Mitzrayim as a Nahar Gadol Nahar Paros. The Christ will receive a Shvokha promise them from the Har Mitzrayim as a Nahar Gadol Nahar Paros. It's a Kivi, it's a Chnizi, it's a Kadmoini, it's a Chizi, it's a Prizi, it's a Rafoim. The Torah mentions 10 nations, Esther Amamin, which Shvokhu promised them to belong to Avraham Avinu and his descendants after him, starting from the Keni, Knizi, the Tadmoini, and finishing with Emoiri, Knani, Gigoshi, and Yehusi. Rashi says, now Esther Umet Yishkan, actually 10 nations mentioned here, the Noslem and the Shiva Goyim, but from these 10 nations, the Torah only gave them 7 nations. Vashlesha, Eben, Umoyim, V'Amoyim, V'Heim, Keni, Knizi, V'Kadmoyini. Says Rashi, 3 out of the 10, which are Eben, Umoyim, V'Amoyim, which correspond to the lands of Keni, Knizi, V'Kadmoyini mentioned in the Parshas Lech Lecha, Asidun is Yerusha La'osid. They're pending, they're waiting Yerusha only La'osid, La'avei, Bizman, Moshiach. Shnera, Eben, Umoyim, V'Shnerach, Yodom, V'Nei, Amoyim, Yishma'atom. And the source of Rashi, the Makoyot of Divrei Rashi, is a Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Mem Daled, and it's also Yerushalmi and Pek Vav and Sechah Shviyis. There's a difference, there's a split within, a division within these 10 Amamin. 7 of them Christ starts to receive straight away when they go into Eretz Yisrael, but 3 of them, which are the Keni, Knizi, the Kadmoini, which correspond to Eben, Moyov Amin, will only belong to them, the Osid Lavi. As these look to Rashi, we've seen the Medrash. Then Rashi, another Rashi worded our attention. Rashi says afterwards, Esther Foyim, says Rashi, Eretz Oig, Shnema Bahu, you call it Eretz Refoyim. Refoyim, says Rashi, is the which land is Refoyim? Says Rashi, Eretz Oig, the land of Oig. And it says, who you call it Eretz Refoyim. I'd like to investigate a little bit further the exact definition of these 10 Amamin and when they'll be given to Klal Yisrael. And Lechoy will see, there's a Hashem, Taylor, the Machlekes between the Ramban and Atayah and Rashi and Atayah. This is apparent, the Chaya, from the Psukim Parshas Devarim. In Devarim Perek Beis, it describes how Klal Yisrael about to enter, still in Transjordan, the Eva Yadin, about to enter the lands of Eretz Yisrael. We find that Kishpoch warned them against attacking and invading certain lands within Eden Ayadim. These lands are the lands of Seir, Edom, and Amon and Moab. We find 3 separate Isurian prohibitions against Klal Yisrael overtaking their land. For example, the Torah says, Al tizgoru avon ki lo etem achem mi'artzom ad vizach kathrogel ki yirush le'esov nosat yiz ha-seir. The Torah says, don't attack them in any way whatsoever. And Rashi says there, Pasuk in Devarim Peis, Pasuk Kei, Girusha le'isos, is Rashi mi'avron, Asar Amim nosati le, says Rashi again, Rashi reiterates the same concept, Asar Amim nosati le, I gave Avron 10 Amimin, Shiva lochem, Vekeni knizu kadmoini, Hin Amim umoyo v'seir, Echod mehem le'isov, Ashnaim livnei loit, Vishchar shoharach, Itoy le mitzrayim, Vishosak amar shi ha'oima al ishtar ha'choyti hi, Asar yi kibunoi. Says Rashi, that 3 of the lands were withheld from Klal Yisrael, namely Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini, which correspond to the 3 lands mentioned in Parshas Devarim, the Klal Yisrael are warned to refrain from conquering them, Amoy Moyo V'Seir. And as she says, one was given to Esau, the other 2 were allotted to Bnei Loit, Vizchar, etc., that he went together with Avraham to Mitzrayim, and he kept quiet, didn't say, and Mimah Achiti, later to reveal the secret. Vizchar there, Loit received 2 of the lands, Amon and Moyov, which are the descendants of Loit. And therefore, says Rashi, that's the time, that's the reason behind the Isra of Altiskorobom. Do not fight, do not wage war against the lands of Seir, against the lands of Amon and Moyov. That's the Rashi in Dvorim Beis Pasuk Kehi. However, the Rambam takes issue with Rashi a few psukim later in the parasha in Dvorim. The prophet mentions there, "Vayomer Shel Elai, al tatzat Shmuel, al tisko bon milchama." Now the prophet mentions that not to attack Shmuel, al tisko bon milchama, ki lo'esin lechom yatzi Yerusha, ki livni loit nosatis or Yerusha. Now the words of this pasuk are subject to highly intensive machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. Livni loit nosatis or Yerusha, and it says, "Ve'ilim lefonim yashuva, am gadol v'rav v'rom kanokim." Rashi explains this psukim to mean as follows. This is Divrei Rashi in Parshas Devarim. Atos sovu shezui eretz defoyim shnasati leil Avraham. If you say emim shehim refoyim yoshivu al lefonim. Avon lo yizui. Ki oizun refoyim hirashti pnei bnei reit v'yishati tachton. Says Rashi, the pshat in the psukim is, you might think that these are the lands of refoyim, which is one of the umis mentioned this, he said in Parshas Lech Lechot, which has promised Avraham of you. Says Rashi, no, it's a mistake, it's not so. Because, in fact, the refoyim were conquered, were thrown out of their land, and overtaken by Bnei Loit. And therefore, says Rashi, the Amisha Vey is telling Klal Yisrael, you cannot take the land. It doesn't belong to the refoyim. Had it belonged to the refoyim, it would be a chelik of the Eretz Mitzrayim, a chelik of the promise of the promised Avraham Avinu, one of the 10 other means of refoyim, that they could, the land would belong to them. Says Rashi, no, that in fact it belongs to Bnei Loit. Just it's a misconception that it belongs to the Rephoim. In fact, Bnei Loit overtook the Rephoim and threw them out, and therefore you cannot take their land. Rambam asks Rashi, mentions two objections against Rashi. He says, "I need Talmud B'divrei Rav. Long if I shall cost the Eretz Avon Moyos in Eretz Rephoim Shnos Navrom. Why does the Torah say that Eretz Avon Moyos does not belong to Eretz Rephoim, which is also gave to Avram? In Loi Meshinu Uyol Yisrael Avinam Eretz Hashem Yishvah Hashem Lavi Steim Nosis Lehem." And they cost in the Eimer and the Kibnei Leit Nasatia Yerusha. Loimash Avish Haisa Menachas Avraham. Because we're all not with Neilait, Babu Avraham. Or commission Kotter Rashi Atzmi, Shnos Nashtam with Neilait. Says the Ramban, Punfaket, the Torah says that Kishboch, as Rashi himself mentions, that Kishboch gave to Bnei Loit two of the nations, Amon and Moab, were given to Bnei Loit under Avraham Avinu as a chilik of the Hatoka to Avraham Avinu. In other words, it works in the opposite direction. If the lands were given to Loit, it means to say that the lands were a chilek of Atocha to Avraham Avinu. Not like Rashi says, it's not a chilek of Atocha to Avraham Avinu. The Ramban doesn't understand Divrei Rashi. Adrabah, if it belongs to Bnei Loit, it ought to be a chilek of Atocha amongst the Amamim which were given to Avraham Avinu. They ought to be able to conquer the land. In Cain, it says Ramban, Eretz Amamim has given to Avraham. If anything, these lands, if they're given to Bnei Loit, the schar that Loit was chasing, if anything, that's the schar for Avraham Avinu. So it does belong to Avraham Avinu. That's Rambam's first objection. And second, Rambam doesn't understand the chlal. He says, why is the Torah saying it's not Eretz Rephoim? So it's not Eretz Rephoim. Hello, my, what is it? It's Eretz Loit. It belongs to Kini Kinizi. So Rambam, whichever way you go, these lands belong to Avraham Avinu. What's the difference with Eretz Rephoim or Eretz Kini the Kinizi? Rambam cannot understand any difference whatsoever between whether the lands belong to Eretz Rephoim or if all these lands belong to a land belonging to Bnei Loit. Therefore, says Ramban, a pshat completely different to Rashi and Pesukim. He said, "I will pierce Pesukim hepek to Divrei Rav." These Pesukim are contrary to Divrei Rashi, the opposite to Rashi. Ki ba'avur shahamak shvoch la Moisha tot says Moav niyasati Bnei Loit is all Yerusha. Yisaka akosu ki oeretz ruuya lezer Avraham luli shenosnid Bnei Loit. Says Ramban, the Pesukim want to tell you, Pesukim relate to him, Parshas Devarim, that the lands, even though they're fitting to get belong to Avraham Avinu. And ever since the Rambam, these lands are Bnei Loit's lands. And it means that the lands that belong to Avraham Avinu are only given to Loit as a schar for him having kept quiet. But nonetheless, as the Torah, Vini Hashem also needs to Bnei Loit, Lechvid Avraham, Vayich Lehem Vyiroshim Mitneim. Shmochu said, I want to tell you, that Shmochu made a tremendous nace to the Bnei Loit. The very fact that they managed to drive out from these lands the Rephoim, were tremendous giants, reflects on the fact there must be a special Ashkocha from Shpochu wanted these lands to go particularly to Bnei Loit and not to the Bnei Yisrael. In other words, says Ramban, these lands, i.e. Amon Amoyel, which is Keni, the Knizi, the Kadmoini, these lands are exactly the same as the land of Rephoim. There's no difference whatsoever amongst the 10 nations. They all belong to Avraham Avinu. It happens to be, says Ramban, that a couple of them were given over to the custody of Bnei Loit, Bishchar, that Loit kept quiet for Avraham Avinu. In essence, these lands all belong to Avraham Avinu. Nonetheless, the Torah, why you're not allowed to attack the Nilite, says Ramban, the reason is because we see a special Ashkocha. There must be some exception to the rule here. A Kroko wanted these lands, a special concession to the Nilite, and these lands should belong to the Nilite. And the proof of the Torah that is so comes from the fact that they were able to overthrow these tremendous giants and oust them from their lands. And therefore, says the Torah, in Roy Lixonahem, Oyat Hashem, Nosnashem, the Mice and Nis. This Rokhu gave it to him, the Mice and Nis. Obviously, the Torah wants them that specifically the Nilites should live in these lands. We see that, from these Sukkim here, that Rashi and Rambam argue on the following point. According to Rashi, the Torah stresses what is the Issa to attack B'nai Amon of the Nilites, Amon Amoyot. So the Torah, because it's not from the Esther Amamin, it's not Eretz Rephoim. On that, the Rambam objects. So what? That Kini the Knizi, which is the Amun Amoyot, is also a chilik of the Eretz Amin. What's the difference if it's Eretz Rephoim or Eretz Kini the Knizi? And Ramban learns the reason that the Torah says not allowed to attack their lands is even though it is a chilik of the Eretz Amin, but nonetheless, if the Shvokha gave it to them, the Mice and Nis, was a special miracle, and he managed to overtake the Rephoim, it must be that Shvokha wants it belongs to the custody of the Nilot. And that's why Klal Yisrael shouldn't attack these lands. Is Rashi obviously needs the Yishuv. But the Chayah, the text of Rashi is blatantly obvious. Rashi says himself in this week's Sedra that the Eretz Kini the Kavamini were only given to Klal Yisrael the Osir Lave when Mashiach will come. Says Rashi, 7 Amamin out of 10 were given to Klal Yisrael straight away, and the other 3 are going to belong to them the Osir Lave. And the Chayah that's shouted in Rashi passes the volume. And Ramban asked Rashi, what's the difference if it's Eretz Rephoim or if it's Eretz Kini the Kavamini? Here's a test that Rashi himself says that only 3 nations amongst the 10 were to be given, singled out to be given to Klal Yisrael only in Osir Lave, the Keni, Kinzi, and Kadmoini. And therefore says Rashi, had these lands been to the Eretz Rephoim, had it been Eretz Rephoim, then it ought to belong to Klal Yisrael straight away, and they could have conquered the lands, they should have conquered the lands straight away. Says Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, no, it's a mistake to think it's Eretz Rephoim. It's not really Eretz Rephoim. It's when the Nilite overtook it, and it's really Eretz Keni the Kinizi. And since it's Eretz Keni the Kinizi, Rashi says this week, Eretz Keni the Kinizi only belongs to Klal Yisrael of the Lover. That's an obvious chat in Rashi. That's apparent. Rashi says later on in Parshas Devarim, Perek Gimel, Pasuk, Yud Gimel, the Yes I Gilad V'chol Aboshon Mamleches Oig, Nosati the Chatzis Shevet Hanashe. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I've given the Mamleches Oig, the kingdom of Oig, to Chatzis Shevet Hanashe. That is called Eretz Rephoim. So Rashi Shitosi, Rashi says in Parshas Devarim, he oyusash nesati l'Avraham. Now says Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, since this is Eretz Rephoim which was given to Avraham, that you can conquer. Specifically the land of Oig, which Klal Yisrael did conquer. Says Rashi, he you call it Eretz Rephoim. That is the Eretz Rephoim, and therefore you are allowed to take that land. Says Rashi, in other words, whatever belongs to Oig, Eretz Rephoim, that you can conquer straight away. Whatever, however, belongs to Amon or Moab, which is not the Rephoim, that you'll have to wait. The Osir Lave, you'll have to be patient. You have no right to take it straight away. This leads us now to the following stage. We've got to understand the Ramban. Rashi is based in Shitosei upon a Medrash, Misik Sedra. There's a sharp divide amongst the Esther Amin given to Avraham Avinu. 7 of them were given to him Yad, and the other 3 were given to him only the Osir Lave. So what's Ramban told Kasha and Rashi? What's the difference between the 7 and the 3? And it seems to be, as Machlek is Rashi Ramban, develops in the following way. We have to ask ourselves the following Shaila. What was the Haftocha? What exactly was the Haftocha, Tzvokhuz, Mavtiach, promised these 10 Amin to the Klal Yisrael? What was the Haftocha, that Klal Yisrael would only receive the rights of ownership? It was the promise, the title deeds to the land. These are the lands which, in theory, belong to you. But they weren't actually, so to speak, told that they would be able to actually conquer these lands. That's one way of learning. The other way of learning is that Klal Yisrael were actually told they'll be able to invade these lands and assert their bailers, both in Marty, and practically be able to assert their bailers in these lands and overtake these lands and conquer them. And it seems to me this is the subject of the debate between the Rashi and the Ramban. The Ramban held that these lands were only given the right to ownership to these lands. But nowhere does it lie implicit in Habtocha, Akshvokhu promised these 10 lands to Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael was actually able to go in these lands and overtake the lands. Shmuel told them these lands will belong to you in theory. When, where, and how? That's not stated at all in Haftocha. As Rashi learned, the very fact Shmuel is Mavtiach these lands to Klal Yisrael, meant in essence that Christ will actually enter and overtake the Amun living there and assert their bailas over these lands. And therefore Rashi held, Ramban held, there is no difference whatsoever between amongst the ten Amunim. Shmuel could promise in general 10 Amunim to Klal Yisrael, but he didn't say that he would be able to enter the land to overtake the land. The fact that Klal Yisrael subsequently went into Eretz Yisrael Miyad and overtook it, that happens to be something which occurred, but it's not a chilek of Avtocha which Shmuel could promise to Avraham Avinu. And therefore says Ramban, what difference does it make? There's no difference whatsoever between the Eretz Keni, Knezi, the Kadmoni and the other 7 Amunim whatsoever, and the other 7 Amunim. Shmuel promised in general all the 10 Amunim to Klal Yisrael. If they had the right of ownership, what difference does it make if this land was Eretz Tefoyim or Eretz Amunumayot? The Meister Krochu said it belongs to you. You have the right to take it. You don't have the right to take it. The actual conquest of the land bears no relevance to the actions of Tochlat Krochu promised to Avraham Avinu. And that's Ramban's time against Rashi. Whereas Rashi learned that Tochlat wants Avraham Avinu specifically that they'll enter the land, overtake the Amunim, the populations living there, and actually settle in these lands. And therefore says Rashi, it must be that if Amun and Moav is only going to belong to Klal Yisrael later on, then it must be that the Havtocha is split into two. First, we have the Havtocha on 7 Amun, which will occur straight away. The Klal Yisrael will enter these lands and take possession instantly when they come into Eretz Yisrael. And secondly, the Havtocha was that Asir Lavei, the other 3 Amun will belong to them, and Klal Yisrael will be able to enter the land only with Asir Lavei. And therefore Rashi makes a distinction between if the land of Amun and Moav would be Eretz Tefoyim or not. Had it been Eretz Tefoyim, would it lie implicit within the Havtocha, Shavuot said to Avraham Avinu, they would enter this land and take possession straight away. Whereas if the land would be, whereas as Moshe Rabbeinu, as the case was, this land was not Eretz Tefoyim, therefore they'll have to wait. And it was actually not a chelik of Havtocha, Miyad, Shavuot promised to Avraham Avinu. The Ramban Lechoyah in Parshas Chukav goes to Shitase. The Ramban says, concerning the lands of Evil Ayadin, now Yishlach Yisrael Malachim Asicha Melech HaMoy Leimah Chayis are about to enter the Evil Ayadin. The Ramban says in Perek Chaf Aleph Bamidbar Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Chaf Aleph that Moshe Rabbeinu had no intent whatsoever of conquering that of Evil Ayadin. Moshe in fact wanted all Klal Yisrael to settle in the proper Eretz Yisrael. He had no intent whatsoever of conquering Evel Ayadim. It happened to be that when Sich and Oig went out to wage war against him, they were incited to fight battle against them, therefore they demolished them. If their lands were empty and laid waste, the Klal Yisrael found a patch of empty land to settle within there. Says Ramban, the Eretz Sich and Oig Rushosn Shli Yisrael Haisa. Ramban, as he tells us, he learns that Sich and Oig, which is Evel Ayadim, which is a chilek, Sich and Oig took over Amun and Moav, here over Sich and Oig. This land of Eretz Sichon V'Oig Yishosn Shin Yisrael Ha'Yisrael Kilei Mo'yihid Ramban learns as a chilek of the Esther Amin which belongs to Klal Yisrael V'Hoyo Menadin Shin Yanu Shalom V'Poslem Shiyah Kol Oman Yisabonem Masa Avadun Ava Mo'yishra Yedeash Ki Yisrael Ato Lo Yichbushu Kol Esther Asar Amin. Says Ramban, operative words, Ki Yisrael Ato Lo Yichbushu Kol Asar Amin. Mo'yishra knew that Klal Yisrael would not conquer all the Ter Amin V'Yachovit Shikol Kivushu Me'iv L'Yadim V'Hola. Mo'yishra wanted that the main settlement of Klal Yisrael should be within Eretz Yisrael proper, Shiyah Mo'yishavom Yachad
did not have to attack the lands of Eretz Sichon V'Oig. Even though it's Ramban within the same passage, that these lands were a chilek of the Asar Amunim. We see therefore the Ramban's shita that even the lands which are the 10 Amunim, which Shmuel gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Avraham Avinu, nonetheless, they didn't have to actually overtake these lands. There's no reason whatsoever why Klal Yisrael had to enter these lands and conquer them. And all Ramban's shita, the shitose, the Ramban holds in Parshas Devarim, there's no difference whatsoever between the 10 Amunim. We find that this issa to attack Al Tiskov on Milchoma, it says this three times, it makes mention three times in Parshas Devarim, not to attack Amun or Moav, and the Niseir, three separate Azharas that Chotei gives us not to attack Amon Moav the Seir, is the subject of Machlokes in the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether it's considered a mitzvah from amongst the Tariag mitzvahs. The Rambam makes no mention whatsoever of these three surin as being a chilik of the Tariag mitzvahs, the 613 commandments. The Ramban, the end of Sefer mitzvahs of the Rambam, the Ramban argues with the Rambam, and the Ramban says he doesn't understand why the Rambam not count the mitzvah, the issa to attack Amri, Moav, and Sin, i.e. the lands of Kini, Knizi, the Tazmoini, which ought to be one out of Al Mokham, out of three, ought to be a mitzvah for amongst the Tariq mitzvahs. Is in fact, the Rambam himself, in Shayesh Shlishi, in the first Shayesh of Sefer mitzvahs, he says that the Bahagul, mentions these mitzvahs as being mitzvahs which are amongst the Tariq mitzvahs, these three prohibitions against attacking the Keni, Knizi, the Kazmoni. And the Rambam says, no, he argues with the Bahag, and he says that these mitzvahs cannot be considered for amongst the Tariq mitzvahs because they're only a mitzvah l'shor of Elayla Dayus. The Rambam has a klal that any mitzvah which doesn't follow through the Dayus forever after cannot be considered Tariq mitzvahs. Tariq mitzvahs are timeless. If there's a time span given to the mitzvah, cannot be considered a chelik of the Tariq mitzvahs. Says the Rambam that these mitzvahs are limited in time, because even though the Keni, Knizi, the Kazmoni were temporarily withheld from Klal Yisrael's ownership, but La'osin Love, as Rashi says, the Keni, Knizi, the Kazmoni is a chelik of the 10 Amamim, which will eventually belong to Klal Yisrael. And therefore we see that the Issa to attack these nations does not apply La'olam Vayit. Therefore, says Rambam, since it's a mitzvah Shor of Elayla Dayus, it cannot be considered one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Ask the Kach, let me give a first down in the Farshim on the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs. This is the Pel on the Ramban. Why does the Ramban say, how can the Ramban consider these mitzvahs? See, mitzvahs of the Tariq mitzvahs, the Ramban is completely right. These mitzvahs eventually will become obsolete. Klal Yisrael, also Lava, will have the right to enter the lands of Keni, Knizi, Kazmoni, and these mitzvahs will become redundant. Therefore, a mitzvah of Shah, the Leila Doilitz. And he says also, they are a Kiyah from the Xavier Yisraelim, the Rashbat. Composed Al-Horus called the Zeh al-Rakia. He also says the following logic: since Osin Lavai Kaisa received the Kini Kizit Kazmoni, these are mitzvahs the Shoyes below the Zayin and cannot be counted from amongst the Tariq mitzvahs. However, the Ramban himself, when it's careful, the Ramban throws in a few words which is apparent Ramban Shitta. Ramban says the very fact that Kaisa will receive these lands Osin Lavai does not mean there's been any compromise whatsoever from the Issa, the prohibition against attacking their land. Because we know there's the following phenomenon occurred. Sancherev, Melech Bovel, made a tremendous changeover amongst the nations of the world. Sancherev is Olam of Valvel, the Umus to Olam. He switched around the nations, he took out nations, and he switched them around from their land. And since everything got confused and switched around, it's a Valvel, the Umus, says the Amon Amayav that Kaisa will overtake the King of Caesar Kazmoni are not the same Amon Amayav which the Torah speaks to. Zayin refers to Amon and Moav living in their lands, and it's an Al Tisgob Al Milchomot. And in fact, if it had been Amon and Moav which lived then, the Torah is Amon and Moav, in Ochanama, the mitzvah remains immortal, Leilam Vayed, the mitzvah always applies, it's also to pet Amon and Moav. I, the Asin Lava, and Klein Israel will overtake the lands of Amon and Moav. Says the Ramban, no. Shani Hoskam, that's different, because the Torah is Sancherev, Oile, and Mavav, and Kala Umayt. It's not the real Amon and Moav. If it's not the real Amon and Moav, therefore, obviously, that Issa doesn't apply. That's the Ramban's logic. In Shalit Shulis Amudi Oyer, Simon Ayn Dalid, the Amudi Oyer has tremendous kasha against the Ramban. So what does Ramban say? That these mitzvahs not to attack the Keni Kisa Kazmoni, i.e., the Amon and Moav, is a mitzvah ledoyus. I, says Ramban, Kaisal of the Love will overtake the lands of the Keni Kisa Kazmoni. Says Ramban, no, because that's different from Cherev as Mavalvel, almost to Olam. He asked from a Mishnah in Yadayim, a Pele Mamash of the Ramban. The Mishnah says in Yadayim, there was a debate, a well-known debate, to matter a Ger Amoini within Klal Yisrael. Can we allow a Ger Amoini within Klal Yisrael? And then the Mishnah says, and Gamliel said, that there was something contended in the Beis HaMedrash, that since Sancheira was Olam of Valvul Umayis, they haven't got a problem with Ger Amoini, because it's not a true Amoini. It's a different nation. Sancheira was Mavalvul Umayis. To which Ragamriel replied that it's true that Sancheira is Mavavu all Umas, but the exception to the rule was Amon and Moav, was Amon. because the Navi says the Oshiv is Shvus Bnei Amrin. Navi makes it clear that the Oshilovai Akshvoku will return, reinstate the exile of Amrin. The Oshiv is Shvus Bnei Amrin. So Rav Gamliel said there is a problem with the Ger Amrini. You cannot say that Sachev is Mevalvel the Umayt because Amrin is exception to the rule. Navi says the Oshiv is Shvus Bnei Amrin. Akshvoku will return Bnei Amrin to their land. And we therefore consider Bnei Amrin to be the original and indigenous population of the land is the true Amrinim. This is Amud Ayin. The same way as the Mishnah makes clear in Masechet Yadayim, with reference to the issue and the nidun of Ger Amrini, that the Bnei Amrin are the same Bnei Amrin, so too he says, when it comes to the Issah to overtake the lands of Amrin, how can the Ramban say that Osir Lavai, the Issah doesn't apply, merely becomes redundant because some Cheres Mevavul Umis? And the Mishnah says the Gabi Ger Amrini, that for Oshiv is first to the Amrin, that we take on, these are the true Ammonites, the indigenous population returned to their origin. So too, referring to the Issa of Artiska Bar Milchama, it's the original Bnei Amrin who returned to their land. And therefore, once again, the Rambam is right. The Rambam has a proof. Since Bnei Amrin returned to their land, that the Issa to attack Bnei Amrin obviously becomes redundant, becomes now Lasid Lavi, and it's a mix of Shavalei Ledoyus. That's the Amudi Oyes objection to the whole logic of the Rambam that some Chavs Mevavel the Umis. We see the Gabi Ger Amoini from the Mishnah Yadayim that Bnei Amrin is excluded from this principle of some Chav Bilbil is Kala Umis. Says the Amudi Oyes, a brilliant interpretation of the Rambam. He says that the Torah specifically says, Yerusha Livnei Light Nasati is Bnei Esav, is Bnei Light Yerusha. Now, Shvokha says that do you know why that it's also to attack the Bnei Loit, Amun Amoyah, they say it, because Kili Bnei Loit Nasati is all Yerusha. Now, Kshvokha gave it all Yerusha. He says Yerusha, the Gemara says in Bava Asra, means Yerusha Eino Hefzik. Yerusha always means that it's a continuity. It's passed down from one generation to next generation to next generation. That's the concept of Yerusha. The thing says the whole incident to attack Bnei Amun is Kili Loit Nasati is all Yerusha. There was continuity. There was never a Hefzik. There was never a disturbance within the ownership of the lands of Bnei Loit. Therefore, it says Amud De'oyed, the Ramban's right. He says, even though, as apparent from the Mishnah Yadayim, the original Bnei Amrin returned to their land, but since there was a displacement within that time period, the Bnei Amrin left the land and afterwards returned, so the rule, the binding rule, not to attack Bnei Loit, because the Kiv Bnei Loit, Nasatis, or Yerusha, doesn't apply. The Yerusha has been broken. The continuity, the Hemshech, has been broken. And therefore, the whole issue to attack Bnei Loit doesn't apply anymore. Yerusha doesn't apply. L'chaim, we can add that the Ramban Shitosei enhances the appreciation of the Ramban Shitosei. The Ramban learns the whole issue to attack the Kini Kizik Hazmoini wasn't because it didn't belong to the three lands. Rashi learns that it was a distinction, a sharp divide within the Esther Amrin. Seven lands are promised them straight away, and is it the fact that they like is because the land doesn't belong to them at all. Only an Osir Lovei will actually receive the right, the Havtocha, the promise to enter the land and actually take settlement there. However, the Ramban learned that the Havtocha was had the right to the land, and that the promise had the right to the land. And so the Ramban learned that she taught in Parshas Devarim that the whole issue to attack Bnei Loit was because the Tzrocha gave a special niece to Bnei Loit. It was placed in the custody of Bnei Loit, and says the Ramban, since it was given to Bnei Loit with a special nissim that they managed to overtake the foyer, which were the giants which were there, he said Tzrocha wanted it to belong to Bnei Loit. So this special concession which the Tzrocha gave to Bnei Loit is obviously dependent on the fact of Yerusha. It's a continuation. Only those Bnei Amrin which are still living there from their parents and their parents' parents, and it's given to them Derech Neis, which is given to them through the Neis, through the miracles that they managed to take the giants. Then we said Shvokul wanted to belong temporarily to Bnei Loit. However, as soon as that's broken and they return to natural order of events, they have no relevance, there's no shaitas between the Bnei Amrin living there at the present day Bnei Amrin, and those Amrin who are given to it Derech Neis, the Yerusha has been broken, the whole Issah drops away. And that's the Ramban holds that the mitzvah can in essence be defined as a mitzvah which is no English. To summarize what's apparent here in the Chayyav between Rashi and Ramban, that from amongst the 10 Amrin, the 10 nations promised to Avraham Avinu, Rashi learns that there's a distinction amongst the 10 nations. 7 are given to him straight away, and the idea of given to him, Rashi understands, means they'll actually enter the land and take possession of the land. Three Amrin, says Rashi, will have held the Osir Lovi, and the issue to attack these three Amrin is because they don't belong to us. Until the Osir Lovi, we have no shaykhs whatsoever to these nations. However, the Ramban learns that the rights to ownership of these lands, all the ten Amrin, were given straight away to Avraham Avinu. There's no difference whatsoever between the Ramban amongst the Esther Amrin. The Zchus, Yerusha, all these lands are given to Avraham Avinu in one unit. However, says the Ramban, it doesn't mean to say that we have to enter these lands and conquer them. The Ramban's opinion is that the fact it belongs to Avraham Avinu just means that we have the right to it. It doesn't mean that Shvach is Maftiach, the actual possession of these lands. And according to the Ramban, the specific issa to attack the Keni Kizir Tazmoini, says the Ramban, is a very specific, highly specialized issa. That only Kol Zman, that B'nai Leit received it, Derech Neis, as he got it a special schar for Leit having kept quiet for Avraham Avinu. Obviously, the Kishwaka wants to give it as a special schar, it shall lie in the custody of B'nai Leit. And as soon as that is broken, for example, Salcher came and took the displaced the whole nation of B'nai Amin, even if B'nai Amin returned to their land, nonetheless, this specific issa is now and void.